The trouble was, she couldn't think of one with great rotational capabilities. Catherine, possibly. Or Perdita. She could go back to trying Perdita. She'd been embarrassed out of using that name in L'Ancre. It was a mysterious name, hinting of darkness and intrigue, and incidentally of someone who was quite thin. She'd even given herself a middle initial, X, which stood for someone who has a cool and exciting middle initial. It hadn't worked. L'Ancre people were depressingly resistant to cool. She'd just been known as that Agnes who calls herself Perditax. She'd never dared tell anyone that she'd like her full name to be Perdita X Dream. They just wouldn't understand. They'd say things like, if you think that's the right name for you, why have you still got two shelves full of soft toys? Well, here she could start afresh. She was good. She knew she was good. Probably no hope for the dream, though. She was probably stuck with the knit. Nanny Ogg usually went to bed early. After all, she was an old lady. Sometimes she went to bed as early as 6 a.m. Her breath puffed in the air as she walked through the woods. Her boots crunched on the leaves. The wind had died away, leaving the sky wide and clear and open for the first frost of the season, a petal-nipping, fruit-withering little scorcher that showed you why they called nature a mother. A third witch. Three witches could sort of spread the load. Maiden, mother, and crone. There. The trouble was that Granny Weatherwax combined all three in one. She was a maiden, as far as Nanny knew, and she was at least in the right age bracket for a crone. And as for the third, well, cross Granny Weatherwax on a bad day and you'd be like a blossom in the frost. There was bound to be a candidate for the vacancy, though. There were several young girls in L'Ancre who were just about the right age. Trouble was, the young men of L'Ancre knew it too. Nanny wandered the summer hayfields regularly, and had a sharp if compassionate eye, and damn good over-the-horizon hearing. Violet Frottage was walking out with young Deviousness Carter, or at least doing something within 90 degrees of walking out. Bonnie Quarney had been gathering nuts in May with William Simple, and it was only because she'd thought ahead and taken a little advice from Nanny that she wouldn't be bearing fruit in February. And pretty soon now, young Mildred Tinker's mother would have a quiet word with Mildred Tinker's father, and he'd have a word with his friend Thatcher, and he'd have a word with his son Hob. And then there'd be a wedding, all done in a properly civilised way, except for maybe a black eye or two. The people of L'Ancre thought that marriage was a very serious step that ought to be done properly, so they practised quite a lot. No doubt about it, thought Nanny with a misty-eyed smile, innocence in a hot L'Ancre summer was that state in which innocence is lost. And then a name rose out of the throng. Oh, yes, her. Why hadn't she thought of her? But you didn't, of course. Whenever you thought about the young girls of L'Ancre, you didn't remember her. And then you said, oh, yes, her too, of course. Of course. She's got a wonderful personality. And good hair, of course. She was bright and talented in many ways. Her voice, for one thing. That was her power, finding its way out. And of course, she also had a wonderful personality. So there'd be not much chance of her being disqualified. Well, that was settled then. Another witch to bully and impress would set Granny up a treat, and Agnes would be bound to thank her eventually. Nanny Ogg was relieved. You needed at least three witches for a coven. Two witches was just an argument. She opened the door of her cottage and climbed the stairs to bed. Her cat, the Tom Grebo, was spread out on the eiderdown like a puddle of grey fur. He didn't even awake as Nanny lifted him up bodily so that nightdress clad she could slide between the sheets. Just to keep bad dreams at bay, she took a swig out of a bottle that smelled of apples and happy brain death. Then she pummeled her pillow, thought, her. Yes. And drifted off to sleep. Presently, Grebo awoke, stretched, yawned and hopped silently to the floor. Then, the most vicious and cunning a pile of fur that ever had the intelligence to sit on a bird table with its mouth open and a piece of toast balanced on its nose, vanished through the open window. A few minutes later, the cockerel in the garden next door stuck up his head to greet the bright new day and died instantly mid-doodle-doo. There was a huge darkness in front of Agnes, while at the same time she was half-blinded by the light. Just below the edge of the stage, giant flat candles floated in a long trough of water, producing a strong yellow glare quite unlike the oil lamps of home. Beyond the light, the auditorium waited like the mouth of a very big and extremely hungry animal. From somewhere on the far side of the lights, a voice said,
"When you're ready, miss."